The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Whatever you are considering, you are running into the same kinds of information. Panicked information, sketchy information, erroneous information, disinformation, misinformation, and occasionally some real information, which is what we always try to bring you here. The story today, whether it be economics, whether it be consumer goods, such as trivialities like food, and other issues, school, entertainment, have all been virtually brought to a halt or are being brought to a halt, or we are looking at, without question, the most important historic event in our times. This is going to go down in history, probably far bigger than the 1929 stock market crash, which was witnessed, as you remember, by Bernard Baruch, who had his little boy toy with him, Winnie Churchill. He took him there to watch the stock market crash in 1929. What's going on here is literally beyond belief. It's going to get worse. And if you aren't prepared now, and how many years have we been urging, and most of you out there, I think, have probably made at least a reasonable effort to prepare, to put things aside, hopefully. This program, above all, has been at this message giving for a long time. So how did it happen? What happened? Who's behind it? Well, I honestly think, in my opinion, I have a pretty good idea. My friend Dick Allgaier, who was with us this first hour, has an exact idea. Dick shared that with me over a year ago, I guess, and I did speak to one gentleman who is, without question, at the top level, and who knows what's going on. And he did mention that to me in a phone call that I was invited to participate in, one of a number of them, with Dick Allgaier. And this was made clear. This virus was intentionally created. It is a vicious organism to enable the international globalist elite, and I mean the top, and whatever else may be involved with those people at the top, as in off-planet, everything's on the table. It is designed to allow them to do what they want. And what do they want? We're going to talk about that with Richard here. As we say hello, he is in a third world country now, safe, out of the line of fire. I am not. Most of you are not. But we are going to do our damnedest to get by this. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Jeff. It's great to talk with you. Always comforting to hear your voice. You're a good friend, and it means a lot to me to be able to have a conversation with you, help keep our sanity.
Feeling is mutual. Always has been. We always just cut right through it and have no problem looking at it as it really is. If you don't know, some of you are new, Dick Allgaier is one of the world's absolutely most gifted remote viewers that has ever been on this planet. And he and his two colleagues, Daz Smith and Edward Reardon, are doing some astonishing work. And if you looked at the story last night, look in Dick Allgaier's columnist section. Just look at last night, what Dick saw a couple months ago, several months ago. Tell him that drawing is there. We put the drawings up. And you might as well just go ahead and let's start with that. If you look for Dick Allgaier on the left-hand side of Rents.com, look at the top story there, and you'll see what we're talking about. You'll be able to see the drawings. You'll be able to see the target that Dick was tasked, as were, I guess, Ed and Daz, to look into. So I'm going to go right now, and I'm going to scroll down to Dick Allgaier on the left-hand side, and there's Yoshi, and there's Dick. All right, the first one, under his archive, it says, remote viewer Dick Allgaier saw the elite going underground while mass graves were being dug on the surface above. Open that up, everyone. Dick, tell us about that session, those two sessions.
Well, that session was done under great stress. First, let me say this, Jeff. This is a transition moment. We're at day one in the transition. This is undoubtedly one of the most important shows you have ever done or ever will do. And the world is never going to be the same. We are starting our journey into the next world that has been designed by those who administer the world. So I'll tell you how I know that and how we got there.
Sure.
That remote viewing work where I saw the mass graves was a target that was given to me blind. That wasn't a look ahead. That was, I don't remember what the target was. It was something to do with what's the situation going to be in the next 60 days, I think. But it was blind. It was just numbers. I mean, I saw that, and we've seen it coming true in Iran, at least. And the look ahead on the bunkers was I was doing a, what's a news event going to be for March? And I said, oh, there's going to be a news event where they're going to talk about the elite going into their bunkers. And that you can see the article. So there it is.
Take a look at these drawings, everyone. And the first one, it's right there. It's arched. It's a tunnel bunker. And Dick, in his session, during his remote viewing session, wrote next to it, deep underground bunker, well-stocked, very long tunnel, man-made, not rough, not unfinished, well-built. I think the elite are going underground.
It looked like a five-star hotel, Jeff. I mean, like fine wood, fine cabinetry, like the entrance to a five-star hotel. But it was an underground bunker. It was really nice. Like, those guys go in style. It wasn't like a concrete fallout shelter bunker. It was very, very nice.
As we both know, the elite have been building underground since the 80s. This goes way back. They haven't just started this. These things are extremely well done in many cases. Look just below the drawing now, and there happened to be an interesting news story that showed up several weeks after Dick's remote viewing session. Some people have bought ex-military bunkers and converted them. These aren't necessarily the ultra-elite rich bunkers, but it gives you the idea of what Dick saw.
Jeff, we've been doing private targets for over a year. Death of the dollar, adoption of cryptos, the whole financial system, and we've been frighteningly accurate. I've showed a lot to you, and we've kept a lot of them private. It's why I'm where I am. I'll tell you let's tell people my story. Okay, backtrack
sure.
a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah.
Some years ago, I remote viewed some things for Courtney Brown, and my data didn't agree with what Courtney thought it should be. And so I published it myself, and it got the attention of some people. Some individuals, I'm a pretty good remote viewer. I have some moments. I was taught the skill. It's a communication skill, and I worked at it hard. I was taught by a former Special Forces member of an intel unit. He wasn't an officer. Pardon me for saying that. But so I trained with him for 18 years, and I got pretty good at it. So I did a couple targets, and some individuals contacted me. And what they said was, wow, you have a skill there. We've seen your work, and we've validated it. And so I was given some other targets to work for them in private. And in doing so, they brought me up to speed. It was about a 3-year education of many hours every week, me being told the true history of the planet, the true history of how it's run. And I know all that. I'm not going to talk about it here, but I know how it works. So I was brought up to speed. They can't tell me everything. Some of it is just, it's not allowed. I'm a remote viewer, so I'm kind of in the club, sort of kind of stuck my head in it, but I'm not a member of any of these organizations, but they're watching out for me. So I get big picture information, and I've been given a lot of information. Mm-hmm. So here I was. I had a very comfortable life, Jeff, as you know, in Hawaii. I was retired, owned a condo, went swimming every day, exercised, did my remote viewing, played guitar,
flying your drone,
made videos, flew my drone. Couldn't ask for more. I mean, but for the past 2 years, as you know, because you were in on some of these conversations, I've been getting told what's happening. And I was told to start preparing a couple of years ago to learn about the new financial system, which is going to be cryptocurrency. It's going to be a digital identity, and it took a while, so I learned that. About 3 months ago, I was told to have a go bag packed. I was told last year, I went on vacation to Alaska. I remember we did the show. Oh, by the way. People should go back to the archives and listen to my last couple, 2-3 show. I think there was one I did last month where I pretty much told as much as I could. If you go back and listen to that in light of what you know now, it will be meaningful for you. So I was told last year when I went on vacation, Dick, enjoy the vacation because you won't be able to travel next year in 2020. There will come a time when you won't be able to travel. What? How can this be? It'll be restricted. And here we are. 3 months ago, I was told to have a bug out bag ready. 2.5 weeks ago, I got a call. It was a Saturday morning, and it was at dawn, and it was very serious and said, we're getting you tickets. You and your wife go. You have a couple days. And so I had to pack up everything.
Hang on, it's okay. We understand. Let me say something here. When this was happening to Dick and his lovely wife, it was not easy. You imagine your entire life, your roots, everything you've known and loved is being taken away from you in order for you to be safe. And he would email me, we talked, and I cannot tell you the strength of this man and his wife to have gone through this, to be uprooted on virtually no notice and relocated to a third world country. Go ahead, Frank.
Jeff, I was 4 hours sleep for 2 weeks, and every moment was a nightmare of trying to get money. Okay, I got my money out of the stock market a month ago, 4 weeks ago.
Right.
I got gold was $19,000. I had some gold and silver. You can't carry that with you. It does you no good, Jeff.
No.
What do you do with your gold? I had to sell that. I had to send that to Kitco. And I'm just getting that while packing and getting the gold shipped and then doing all the little, you know, you've got to log on with your username and then, oh, what was the password and authenticate this and that. And meanwhile, I'm getting my money out of my 401k and having that sent to me with a check. Will it arrive before the plane leaves? Can somebody sign for it for me? It comes. What bank account do I put it in? How do I, just a thousand things. Gold and silver didn't do me any good.
We should also mention that when you just heard Dick say, before the plane leaves, getting a flight out of there was like a Hollywood horror movie.
Jeff, I was told to go to a certain site, and the person helping me was on the computer with me, and I was swearing, and he would say, Dick, don't say F word. It doesn't help. Concentrate. Find this flight. And we'd find a flight. And as I was typing in my name and information, it would disappear. You couldn't get on it. And so I watched them go on. I got the last two seats. And I was also told, don't go through the West Coast. Don't go to San Francisco. Don't go to L.A. I had to go a circuitous route.
Right, right.
Oh, it was just, it was the most stressful thing you could imagine. And what do we take? And my wife is packing. Do you want this? Like, what camera gear? What guitar? You know, can I take a guitar? What, how can we ship stuff and take some Allison C? And how much cash can you take? And we're putting money into bank. It was unbelievable. And all the time, that sick, sick fear feeling in your stomach. Like, you'd wake up in the morning at 4 a.m. and go, oh my God, what do I have to do today? I have a day and a half left, you know.
It's a black dread, and I've felt it for a long time now, weeks and weeks, a black dread, blackness, and it's not a good feeling at all.
So I was directed by my higher self to bring a friend with me that I've known 50 years, and I kind of said, hey, we're going on a vacation to a place, you know, it's a little primitive, but beautiful. And I bought him a ticket, and he came with me. And the night before he was leaving, he has some property in the Bay Area that he was renting, and a realtor called him and said, hey, do you want to sell this place? And he said, oh, I'm going to this other country. And the realtor said, I know the top realtor in that country. He's a friend of mine, and here's his name. And so that guy met my friend at the airport and turned out to be our guardian angel. He knows everybody. He's helping me. He's driving me around. He found me a secure place to live. I'm in a gated place with high officials, with a police guard. So I'm physically safe. And I'm in a country that grows its own food and gets fish out of the ocean. And I think it'll be okay in that sense. But my God, getting here, the banking system, I didn't have the necessary papers. I couldn't open a bank account. I can't get money. I'm just living off my credit cards. Today, I sent myself some money via Western Union. Mm-hmm. And my friend took me to the bank, and they saw the amount. It wasn't that much. And they just kind of went, the person at Western Union said, what's the purpose of this? I said, what do you mean, what's the purpose? I need some money. And she said, you can't, anything above this amount, you have to have paperwork, a contract, what it's for. We can't give you cash. You get a check, take it to the bank. And it was like, I was all day just wiring a little, not that much money.
I always thought Western Union was easy. Supposed to just pop in there and send money? No. Everything's... No. See, it's all regulated now, friends. You don't much regulation there is.
This is the new system. They put this in. It's called Know Your Customer in KYC. You have to have all kinds of paperwork and documentation. And they're making the system... It's dying. The banking system is... It won't be long, Jeff. The banking system is going under. So
I look at the stories right in front of me right now, Dick, just to bring this home a little more from what you're saying. Trump administration to support U.S. economy with $800 billion in fiscal measures. That's a trillion. Repo market breaks again, forcing Fed to scramble another half a trillion dollars into the repo. It's endless, endless. IMF prepares $1 trillion bazooka to fire, and global stock markets plunge despite drastic action by governments as coronavirus paralyzes the economy. Gold price drops as investors hunt for cash to cover massive market losses. Doesn't stop.
Yeah. Well, let me give a little plug here and a thanks. Our crypto viewing team, you know, we've assembled a very special team. Edward Reardon, Daz Smith, our corporate guy, Ed, who's he's traveling right now to a safe place. He's been preparing for a while, but we've been giving out this information on a private site over the past 2 years. And if people now believe us, because we were right. And it's CryptoViewing, Patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, Patreon.com/CryptoViewing. We can't say much of this in public. It's not allowed, but what we've said in private has been very valuable to people. We're getting a lot of thanks. And thanks to the team for helping me get down here. I wouldn't have been able to do it without the CryptoViewing team. They saved my life. What we're doing now, Jeff, because we knew this was coming and that, you know, the internet and social media is going to be censored. We've developed a private site. We've been working on it for a year in preparation for this time, and it'll go online in a couple weeks. Just go to, you'll see an announcement at cryptoviewing.com, and we're going to have a private site, a private app. It will circumvent YouTube and circumvent. We'll be able to communicate and give out information to people. So, and that will be a subscription thing. And Jeff, I think there'll be a day when your show will be affiliated with us and be private. And you'll bring your people and they'll pay some money. Our site is up and running and we'll get your show on it, I think. I just have that feeling. I just blurt that out. So.
When you have a feeling, I listen. I think
you and I are going to be the our history is going to be erased, Jeff.
Yeah.
The history of this time, it won't be. Future generations won't know it except through your archives. Let me talk a little bit about Hawaii. I love Hawaii. I've cried a bunch of times. I was showing my new friend a video that I did in Hawaii, you know, and he was watching it. And I was just bawling. He looked over, what's that? I said, I miss my home, man. I miss it. It's a lovely place, but it's not going to be lovely. It's not going to be. Hawaii depends on tourism. It's a small rock. Oahu, Honolulu is a small piece of rock in the middle of the nearest land is 2,500 miles away. They don't grow hardly anything. I mean, some macadamia nuts, a little coffee, not enough to feed the people. It's right. Fished out. They can't, there's not enough fish to catch.
Not to mention Fukushima.
Yeah, Fukushima. And what happens is Hawaii is dependent on tourism. A million people on this one island, about, I think, $18 billion a year last year in tourism, $2 billion taxes, the tourism provides $2 billion in taxes. There are no tourists in Hawaii. Waikiki is empty. I'm talking with people there. It's a ghost town. They're closing everything. All the hotels are closing, laying everything off. So all the people that work in the hotels, the restaurants, the tour buses, the entertainment industry, the food service, the maids, everything, their paychecks have stopped. So that the state will lose its tax base. How long will people go to work when the state runs out of money?
And the other side of the coin there, no pun intended, is what are these people going to use to pay their rent, their mortgage, buy their food, unless the state grants them money?
Job, yeah. Well, what if the food stops coming in? I did a remote viewing target last summer. And it was just some numbers, you know. L7CQ-1896 or whatever.
That was your target.
That's all I was told. I saw a big, like, open field next to a stadium type of thing, and tents, and National Guard, and people being given food, and then first you get the vaccination in this line, in this tent, and then some food. And then I said, pretty soon that ends, and they just go home, and there's nothing more the military can do, and it just descends into chaos. And that target was Hawaii in the near future. So, based on that, I don't think Hawaii is going to be a good place to be. I mean, how can you live on a rock with not producing food?
No, you can't. And they're beginning to test there now, finally. The nearly 2 months delay in proper testing is beginning to roll out.
They got the first community-based case.
Yeah. Don't test, don't tell. There are maybe tens of thousands of cases in the U.S. right now, including Hawaii. No one's talking. No one's testing. That's how they're going to try to, quote, flatten the curve, which is all bullshit.
Well, this is carefully designed and carefully planned, and they need to do this to, okay. How many years have you been? Okay, I have so much to say. First of all, for those of you listening to us tonight that have been listening to Jeff Rentz for many years, how many times has he told you to call Numana and get storable food? Many times.
And before that, ReadyReserveFoods.com. And before that, another company. I've never stopped urging people, go out and buy 10 cases of baked beans, black beans, buy something. And now I'm told stores, no canned foods, no nothing. A lot of morality.
Well,
so the feds are taking over food distribution. They're taking over the supermarket chain. They're working with the supermarket chains, and they're going to allow X number of people in at a time. And you can only buy so much food, and no more, quote, hoarding, whatever that means. Go ahead.
Okay, so we've talked about that on your show, and that's unfortunately comes true. We've also talked, this I learned on your show 20 years ago. The Jekyll Island experiment is at an end. This is the end of the Jekyll Island scheme. It won't survive. Mm-hmm. So the dollars, this has been overdue. The economy is smoke and mirrors, modern art. It's nothing propped up by thin air. It's just an illusion. And stock market lost, 3,000 today?
Yep.
This has been designed. This is a transformation to the new system. And that's the buzzword I've been saying for a couple of years now in crypto viewing. We're going to see the transition to a new monetary system that will
be
digital.
Bloody transition too, I might add, as you well know. And I don't mean just deaths from the virus. It's going to be bloody from one end of the spectrum to the other. Casualties, pain, suffering, fortunes gone, people wiped out. Wait, just wait and see.
Well,
there's no pride in saying that we told you so either. Believe it. We tried. And this is a very dark and ugly thing, and we can both understand why the majority of people might have put it aside. Well, maybe someday, but then, no. That day is here now.
Well, the plan was to have government that they've so-called sovereign governments, you know, a couple centuries ago, they decided that humans would be given the illusion of governing themselves. The nobility said, okay, we'll have a democracy, we'll have nation states. And so they rolled out a a template and gave everybody this template of the, you know, the war goddess, the Lady Liberty, Britannia, Austria. They all had this, the woman in the ropes holding the thing and the national anthem and the flag and the medals for the military.
Nationalism.
National currency, nationalism, and that was the way that humanity was governed. And in all the counties, counted all the money that was brought in by the people that were ruling it. And it was a nice little system, but they're going on to the next system. I'll give you a little bit of good news. For those who survive, they're going to release some new technology that'll be pretty flashy. That'll be pretty good, but it's going to be, you won't have nation states. It's going to be run by corporations, NGOs, and it's going to be decentralized on the blockchain. So everything you do, everywhere you go, everything, you know, you do it on a little smartphone, and your every thought and desire and emotion and feeling about it will be recorded, and you'll get paid some little token for sharing that, and you'll have people around the world that you can interact with. See, we're having a time where you won't interact physically. People will not be interacting physically anymore. You'll be afraid of getting the virus. So social distancing, right? That's the term, social distancing.
Virtual communication. No more direct. It's all be online, digital.
Well, they're already doing that, Jeff.
Correct.
How many times have we looked at pictures of people in restaurants all at the same table, not looking at each other, talking, they're texting?
It's already done. They're just going to institutionalize it formally, and they're going to, I think, quite literally use all of this. All of it will be spun through AI supercomputers into social credit scoring. That's coming too.
Yep. So, you know, I'm hoping we come out the other end, and that when they roll out the cryptocurrency, that was the good news, is I was able to carry a good deal of what I've accumulated on a piece of paper with some word. Well, I have it.
Yeah.
I have it secured somewhere on the internet that I can. I've got a couple places where I can get at just a few words, and I can reconstitute my wallet. So, you know, I actually, that was one of the things I was doing in the final days. I'd thought about that. I knew it, but you just put it off and put it off. Woo! So this is going to be a real ride, Jeff. It's going to be a real ride.
What I notice when I watch the statistical games playing and the Chinese numbers, the official numbers from China, they may have had 2-3 million dead over there for all that we know. We don't know. It's all lies. And I have a story going up at the top of headlines shortly about a number of Chinese visiting scientists, many of which were ensconced at Harvard. They were working on all manner of technological challenges, U.S. chemistry programs, bioscience, nanotech, polymer science, robotics, computer sciences. All of them were targeted for a long time. We're talking decades, by the People's Liberation Army scientists. They've just arrested a number of these scientists, men and women, and they're identified as colonel of some woman, a colonel in the People's Liberation Army, someone else a lieutenant general. And they're supposed to be just scientists over here on exchange programs, helping us they're stealing the crap out of us and have been for decades. Open theft. And the video I have up there, the guy, I guess he's from DOJ, he names person after person after person, and many of them were all tied together. These are Chinese nationals, People's Liberation Army officers, posing as scientists. They are scientists, and they're all tied together in one of these cases with a Zionist scientist by the name of Lieber. Now, why is that?
You have to realize that the people who admit or who are really in charge of things are not nationalists. They don't give a crap about nationalism or countries.
Not a chance.
They're running the human race. And they're administering the human race. They don't, the borders, sovereign national governments doesn't mean anything to them. It's about generating cash for the corporation, product for the corporation, human capital. So.
Oh, this is the dark part. This is the dark part. Human capital. What does he mean by human capital? Does that mean that each human being is worth money, as it were, has value units on the blockchain soon for the elite on the planet? Do each one of us, when we die, have some cashed in value to the elite that run the planet? Could that be possible? Well, the answer is yes. And we've talked about that before, too. A little bit on that, Dick, if you can.
Well, at birth, based on your birth certificate, they know where you are. If you're born in Santa Barbara of affluent parents and you're expected to go to college, and they can chart your life, how much money you're going to generate for the system. Someone who is working in a bean field down where I am, they're not. I don't want to sound callous here to say as a human life is valuable, but in terms of contribution to the system, it's a little less. That's one of the reasons I'm here, is it's a place where the people are going to be left alone, as opposed to the United States. The United States has to be taken down for this system to come on board. And I don't want to get too deep into that. I want to be careful. We'll talk about that privately. That's kind of sensitive stuff. Let's talk a little bit about this, what's happening with the virus. I have not had time to hear your shows with Henry. I hear, God, I'm talking with people who are still drinking the Q Kool-Aid, saying, oh, this is a big op. This is Trump taking down the deep state.
Those poor
I don't
people.
Have time to hear that. Somebody was telling me that on the phone today. I don't have time. I don't have time for this nonsense. But some are claiming that China is getting back up and running, that there have very few cases now, that they've turned the corner and production is coming back up and the cases are diminishing.
I've read the same stories. I cannot.
Who knows?
That's true, because the Chinese lie constantly, never endingly, and forever. They lie. They say they've got 5,000 dead or something like that on the planet altogether. No, I am absolutely convinced that the Chinese lost at least 2 million, maybe 3 million dead. They were burning bodies and still are. They're bringing in thousands upon thousands of portable furnaces to burn bodies in Wuhan. Wuhan, an area of 20 million people. And yes, they could lose 2 million in there, and the world wouldn't blink. If Beijing said 4,000 died, that's what the world would accept. That's what they would assume. What worries me, and I'm speaking on behalf of all the people who are going to get this thing, two things. One, there have been a number of cases of people who have, quote, recovered, been released, and then been reinfected, or had a relapse, suggestive that the virus goes into some place in the body, like a herpes virus, and hides out. And then when the immune system is weak, it bursts forth. That's what the herpes virus does. It encapsulates itself and hides at the base of the spine in the nervous system. It hides there. Now, suppose that this coronavirus went into the bone marrow, for example, and hid out there. And you test PCR negative because it's not running around the bloodstream. You're negative. You're healed. You go away. You're released. But all that while, the virus is still in that bone marrow, degrading your immune system until you won't have an immune system. What you'll have then is an AIDS-like condition, which opens the door for 30 or more hallmark conditions of a malfunctioning, non-existent immune system. That's one. Number two, I always try to watch how many cases have been resolved. resolved by either death or healing and release. And if you look closely, there are not many. This virus doesn't go away. It hangs on for weeks and weeks and months. And maybe it'll never go away. I hate to say this.
It's a horrific bioweapon.
And it's SARS. I used to joke in the beginning and call it SARS 2.0. It bears every resemblance of exactly that. Some of the Chinese scientists in Wuhan said it was SARS 2. I've called it SARS 2.0. It's upgraded. It's enhanced. It's got some, apparently, HIV components genetically now. It is a vicious, infectious organism that can dock at many more places on a human cell. It's 10 times more infectious than the influenza virus. That's what I'm told.
Well, I'm watching Korea because my wife is Korean, and she watches the news all day, every day from there.
Uh-huh.
And they seem to be doing pretty well. They were very aggressive. Their testing was very good. They had that one big outbreak. They had a cult, some religious cult, and right. They went around, didn't wear masks, and they all caught it. And they isolated that. And they seem to be, the death rate seems to be low. And I tend to believe reporting out of Korea, because I've watched with my wife, Koreans are very, they're tough people. If you tell them they can't say something, they'll go right on the internet and social media, and they'll just raise holy hell. They won't be denied. And so I don't think they're able to cover it up so much there, but their death rate is supposed to be below 1%.
We don't know how many cases. Remember, the cases have to be resolved. They either have to be healed and released and tested and found to be negative of coronavirus, or they die. That's a resolution as well. So I don't know what the Korean stats are, but I do know that this country, under its current leadership, had tested about 20,000 people yesterday total. And I think the CDC had accounted for about 4,500 of that 20,000. The rest were done by public health laboratories, 103 of them scattered around the country. 20,000 tests as of yesterday. In South Korea, they have tested over 250,000 people to date. No problem. You want to test? You're tested. Boom, you got the results very shortly thereafter.
And it's free. So, the government pays for it.
That's right.
Korea's response has been remarkable.
Yeah, they have a world first class health system. They've taken care of this. I just don't know about the recovery rate, the released rate. I'm watching for that to see relapse rates. We don't know what this virus has been programmed to do, either by nature or by satanic humanity. You choose. It's up to you. I'm not going to tell you what to think. This virus may go into the body and lay dormant for a year. Maybe it was programmed to do just that. And then the next wave comes out next fall, next winter, and it's twice. The mortality will be double, twice as vicious. We don't know. We're in unknown territory here. And I know that there are people listening to this who are way up the food chain, and we are trying to help this transition happen with the least amount of grief and pain that is going to be exacted from the masses.
Humans don't do things voluntarily.
It takes
pain to, you know, pain is a good motivator. And you see, and it's a good control mechanism. This is checkmate, Jeff. They checkmated it.
Yeah.
I mean,
they did.
When I was told a year ago, oh, you won't be able to travel, you know, the governments will fail, and blah, 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 I wasn't told the details. I was told the pieces of it. And I remote viewed some of it, and I didn't even put this together. Now it's so obvious. It's like, wow, you have total control right now. You can just lock down a city, martial law. You can lock down travel.
People wouldn't have believed it. I mean, when you used to tell me these things back then, and I did, again, have the ability, and I'm very grateful for that, to talk with a certain individual a number of times, and I started to prepare them.
Yeah. I have a friend in, back in Hawaii, a dear friend I worked with in the news business, a nice guy, but he always thought I was a little off, you know, a little extreme. And he, you know, I said, you know, the economy is going to crash. He goes, the United States is too powerful, it won't crash. He goes, look at the NBA. They're paying these tall guys $30 million a year to put a basketball through a hoop.
Everything's
fine as long as the NBA is going.
No problem. That's right.
Yeah, well, I called him up the other day. I said, hey, you know, they just canceled the whole NBA season. He went, he was speechless.
All major sports canceled. All of it done.
So when Trump was elected, I said, what's up with Trump? What's the deal with this? And I was told Trump was put in to oversee the bankruptcy of the United States. And that's coming true. But the bankruptcy involves the debts have to be settled. So that's going to be the ugly part, is the settling of the debts. I won't say too much about that. This has been too dark. Let me tell you a couple funny stories, if I can, about what has happened to me.
Yeah.
Well, this one's not funny. This one's actually horrific. We had just gone through all this trauma, and we're in this place, and we don't know anybody, and it's really strange, and it's really uncomfortable in a lot of ways, and we're like, oh, this is so foreign and so third world. And our friend was driving us in a pretty nice, you know, Toyota RAV4, air conditioning. We're driving, and they have those little circle roundabout where the four lanes coming.
Yeah.
So going through that, my friend he didn't drive fast. He was driving 17, 20 miles an hour, maybe under 20 in this roundabout. And we were talking, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a guy on a motorbike with an older woman, his mother on the back, just boom, hit his front fender, and the woman like flew and crumpled on the street, and we were in this act. It was just like, oh my God, this guy just hit us. We collided. My friend didn't hit him, but, this nightmare. I was like, oh God. And he immediately got out and picked up the woman and said, we'll take her to the hospital. It's an emergency. And he put her in the car. My wife was in the back. I said, Mimi, you get in the front. I got in the back with this woman. Oh, she'd broken her foot and her jaw. And my friend took her right to the hospital. And he said, I had to get out of there before the police came. I would be filling out reports. It would cost me all this money. It's just life and death. So I took her there. And he paid the guy a certain amount of money, not that much, and just paid him on the spot and said, here you go, and made the settlement. There it is right there, and then paid her medical bills, even though it was the other guy's fault. Okay, I was going to do something like we were driving out in the country to look for a place to live out in the greenery near the farms, and we're going down this like two-lane road, and we come upon a police car, a police truck, and there's police, you know, and the police car was going kind of not too fast, and it was a double yellow line. The police car was going slow enough that my friend just pulled out and pulled around the cop on a double yellow line, and like waved, and the cop waved back, and I said, you just passed a policeman on a double yellow line. He goes, oh, it was okay. I said, don't you know that the double yellow lines, that means don't pass? He goes, really? They just painted those in a couple of years ago. I wonder. So then.
Oh, that's funny.
We come up to a police checkpoint where there's a police checkpoint, and we're drinking a beer. And I go, oh no. And you just raise your beer to the cops, and they wave at you. Okay, go through. It's an interesting place.
Sounds fascinating.
Yep. I'll check in from time to time.
I'm
it's
here.
Not going to be property, but we'll keep in touch.
Well, I appreciate the call this afternoon, and I've got to get your stuff off to you as well. We'll do that. So
that would be
take good care. And I've got a picture of Dick and his wife that had breakfast. I'll try and post that.
Oh, yeah, that breakfast we had. We didn't get to that. That was another good thing. The food is fresh, and it's all grown really close. It doesn't come on – there's no box stores. It comes from a little pickup truck.
Got it. All right. Okay.
Just outside.
I'll put that up. I'll put that up in your column. That's fun.
Stay safe, Jeff. It's going to be
–
I will. We've had an amazing life, and we're going to see some really big changes. This is – the new system is coming online, and I'll talk about that more in our next visit about what's coming, because it's all outlined, and they know, and it's well-planned. They plan it out decades in advance.
Yes,
and,
they do.
This world is going to be totally – 5 years. All right.
Say hello to our –
Stand tall,
say hello,
everybody.
Yeah.
Stand tall.
All right, you be well. Say hello to Mimi. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I hope that got loud and clear reception with most of you. I think it did. Best audience ever in talk radio. It is what it is. And if I had started talking about this a year ago, no one would have believed it. So I just, no reason. I guess urging people to prepare. I hope most of you are. We'll be right back.